Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's June 19, 2012, and this is episode 340. Over this past week, I've had the pleasure of previewing a new product called Texture a Photo that's being launched today on June 19, 2012. I've never added textures to my images before, but I had a lot of fun playing with the amazing textures that Brian Lippincott has included in this package, and I've been looking forward to sharing this with you today. We've been kindly provided with a 15% discount code, MBP15, for Texture a Photo as well, and there's an affiliate link, so if you find this review useful and you want to help support our efforts here, do use the affiliate link on my blog. And all of the example images are also on the blog. They'll be a little bit too small in iTunes and on your iPhone or iPad to really appreciate them. So go over to the blog at mbp.ac/340. And of course, as usual, I'm only bringing this review to you today because this is a product that I believe in and stand by. I have and will never endorse a product just for the affiliate dollars, but I know that you already know that, so let's get started. The first thing that I wanted to make clear is that Texture a Photo is not a standalone product, in that you won't be downloading an application in which you can open your images, apply a texture or two, and then save and close the image. Texture a Photo is a collection of 450 plus high quality texture files that you use in Photoshop, Photoshop Elements, or Perfect Layers, which is available for free from On1 software. I like this approach mainly because I already own Photoshop, and I'm going to be playing around with my images in an editing product, I want to do that in a familiar environment. And also, unless there's a good reason to open a standalone plugin, I prefer not to overcomplicate my workflow. Today we'll only look at examples using Photoshop CS6, but the package comes with documentation for full Photoshop, Photoshop Elements, and On1's Perfect Layers. Texture Photo comes in three flavors, though they all contain the base 450 plus texture files and 2 hours of video training. As of the launch date, the cost for the complete package is $99, and if you have a reasonable internet connection, this may be all you need. There is a lot of data to download though, with almost 4 gigabytes of texture files and documentation. Then there will also be the video tutorials, and if that could be a problem for you, note that the premium package comes with an 8 gigabyte jump drive containing the textures, and I believe the video tutorials and documentation as well, which will be mailed to you anywhere in the world. The premium package also includes an extra 100 plus texture files that will become available in October and December this year at no extra charge. This package currently costs $129. There is also a premium package which includes one-on-one training with Brian, the creator of Texture a Photo, which may be useful if you want to give this a try, but you aren't really confident with using Photoshop or Perfect Layers, or maybe if you want help in choosing the best textures for certain types of images, things like that. That will be $199, so a steal if you think you'll need some help. Okay, so let's jump in now and actually texture a photo. Brian's tutorial documentation is great, and although I haven't seen the tutorial videos yet, I'm sure that they'll be very useful too, so I won't go into all of the details here. I would like to just walk you through what adding a texture or two or three to one of my images, though, as an example, and just make sure that you understand what we're really talking about here. Note, though, that I'm new to this too, and so my initial biggest hurdle was selecting an image that would look good with a texture applied. I wasn't happy with the results of my first few tries, and I'm still in two minds about this first example that we'll look at, as it's not something that I would usually do with my images, but I had a lot of fun playing with these textures, and at least this will give you an idea of how you can texture a photo in your own work. First, let's look at an example using a photo of a Stella's sea eagle. This first screen grab from Photoshop CS6 is the image with no textures applied. Remember that to see these images as large as possible, go over to my blog at mbp.ac/340 and then click on the images that are embedded in the blog, and they'll open in a light box and you can then navigate back and forth with your mouse or keyboard arrow keys. So when you first download the texture files and unzip them, you'll have four folders, each containing various types of textures in a number of subfolders. In addition to the original texture files, there are black and white textures as well as blue, red, green, and sepia tint versions. There's also a directory with some transparent textures, which we'll take a look at after this first example. I moved all of these subfolders into a single folder, which is I just called textures, so that I could see all of my texture types without navigating around the original zip file named folders when I want to use them. I just have one folder that then has a layer of subfolders with the names of the types of textures inside. To apply a texture, in Photoshop, select Place from the File menu and navigate to the Textures folder. I find that on the Mac OS, the cover flow view that you might recognize from iTunes is a good way to view the textures to see which you want to apply to the image. First, I decided to see what the sandstone bright texture looked like with my eagle shot. When you first open the texture file with the place command, it might be smaller than your image, so you'll need to resize it. Just grab the corner nodes of the texture image and drag it out to the corners of your image. If you want to maintain the aspect ratio, hold down the Shift key as you drag, but this might mean that you have to drag it wider than your image to fill the frame if the aspect ratios aren't the same. Once you've got your texture to the size you want it, hit the Enter key to place the texture over your image. Before you can use the blending mode, you have to right-click the layer and select Rasterize Layer. Once rasterized, you can select one of the layer's blending modes from the pull-down that normally says Normal. Overlay is always a good place to start, but here I selected Vivid Light for a bit of a gritty look to the overall image. Now, depending on what I'm trying to create here, I might leave the image at that, but let's see what happens if we mask out the texture over the eagle. To do that, with the texture layer selected, click the Add Layer Mask button. Again, Brian covers all of this in his documentation, so I'm not going to provide detailed screenshots here. The default is to create a white layer, and remember, white reveals and black conceals, so the entire texture layer is visible. Until, that is, we paint over the eagle with black. So select the paintbrush and ensure that that black is your foreground color, and paint on the mask layer over anything that you don't want the texture to appear on. As you paint in, note that if you want to leave some of the texture on the main subject, you can adjust the opacity of the brush or paint using a tone of grey, which also allows the texture to show through some, but not fully. Also, if you go a little bit too far over the edge of what you're painting on, you can hit the X key on the keyboard to toggle between your background and foreground colours. So if you set your other colour to white, it's an easy way to go back quickly, toggle between the two, and correct any overzealous painting that you might do. Now my eagle looks like he's flying in front of a rock face, but to make it look a little bit more realistic, for now, I'll reduce the opacity of the texture to 70%, as we see here. That doesn't look too bad, but you don't have to stop at one texture. Depending on what you intend to create, if you wanted to, you can add another texture, or as many as you like, in fact. Next, I'll add another texture from the Sepia series called Star Trails. Note too that if you spend much time on your first mask, you can duplicate your first texture layer and drag its mask to the new layer and then delete the layer that you just created. There might be an easier way to do this, but I'm not aware of one. It's an easy way of copying your mask though. Now, I'm starting to feel as though this is looking like something out of a Wild West movie, despite the eagles actually living in colder climes. But let's do one last texture to warm up the eagle and see how that looks. Here I've dropped the red gore texture from the red tinted texture folder over the eagle, and I let it affect the rest of the image too. To keep it a little bit subtle though, I've reduced the opacity of this third texture to 20%. This is looking much more like graphic art than a photograph now, but that's the whole point of this. So hopefully this will give you some idea of how you can build on the layers. And here in the Enhanced podcast and on the blog, I'll post the final image for you to take a closer look. And as one last example, here's something a little more subtle. By adding the transparent Japanese writing texture to one of my Red Crown Crane studies, you can see how the transparent textures add no colour at all to the image that you're applying the texture to. This time for the mask, I, after initially bringing the crane's head and neck back fully with 100% opacity mask and black brush strokes, I reduced the opacity of the brush to 40% and changed the flow to 68% for the body of the crane, so that it basically left a hint of the texture there. And again, here's the standalone image for you to take a look at. We've only looked at a handful of textures today, but I do encourage you to take a look on the product website to see for yourself just how many textures this complete package includes. As you know, this is not something that I would usually do to my images, but I've been aware of this technique, and I've even got a small collection of textures of my own that I started to shoot some months ago. I'm glad that I did this though, because this not only gives me something else to play with, it also makes me appreciate even more just how much work Brian has put into creating this huge collection of textures and making them available at what I consider to be a very reasonable price. Remember that if you decide to pick up Texture or Photo, do use the affiliate link from the blog post for this episode, or the short link that I created, which is mbp.ac/TAP, with TAP being for Texture a Photo, of course. Using the affiliate link will help to support the podcast and blog, and don't forget to use the discount code MBP15 when you check out to get a 15% discount on your purchase. This means that you can get all of these textures, 450 plus, for under $85. Thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google Plus and Twitter, etc. And links to everything that I'm into are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.